Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films Highest to Lowest and Superman.
I'd like to talk about two movies today, and they're both getting a whole lot of attention, I must say, and quite good reviews, both of them. And I rather like both of them, although the first is by far my favorite. The first is Highest to Lowest, the new movie by Spike Lee. And then after that, I want to talk about the new Superman movie. So, first of all, my book, Spike Lee's America, about Spike Lee's filmography. I wrote it several years ago, so it doesn't come right up to the present. But I have just a tremendous interest in Spike Lee. And I'll say a little bit about why before we get to his new movie, Highest to Lowest. He is the only African-American filmmaker who has managed to build and sustain over a very long period of time, many decades, a really major career in regular commercial cinema. Others have sustained minor careers or short-lived careers, but Spike has been there for a very long time. And he is the leader in this area of American black cinema, has been for several decades now. Not all of his movies are good. I think that occasionally he has made a real stinker. However, he has made some really, really great films. Highest to Lowest, I think, is a very, very good film. It is not, I think, a masterpiece. It does not rank with his very best work, but it's a beautifully produced film. It's a very major film, and it's quite an ambitious film, and it stars Denzel Washington. So it has a whole lot going for it. Spike has worked with Denzel quite a few times over the years. This may be, I understand, their last collaboration, but they've done some fine work in the past, and this is a very, very solid picture, more than solid. It's a very, very good picture. So, Highest to Lowest. First of all, that title, yeah, it's spelled with the numeral two, sort of a little nod to the hip-hop culture, I guess, Highest to Lowest. And it's based on two things. It's based on a novel that came out way back in 1959 by Ed McBain. That was the pen name of a guy named Evan Hunter, who interestingly scripted a couple of Alfred Hitchcock's movies. But he wrote a whole lot of novels. Some of them deal with the 87th Precinct. This is one of those novels. And it's a police procedural, basically. And then that novel inspired a movie way back in 1963, a Japanese movie called High and Low by the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest of all Japanese filmmakers, Akira Kurosawa. So we have a novel from 1959, which is, by the way, called King's Ransom by Ed McBain. And then we have this Kurosawa film from 1963 called High and Low. So obviously Spike Lee's title, among other things, it pays tribute to the Kurosawa film. So the Kurosawa film, I'll just talk about that very, very briefly. It's very much like the novel. It deals with a man and a kidnapping, a very, very wealthy man and a kidnapping that happens. And Highest to Lowest starts off the same way, but it has its own variations on the theme. The Kurosawa film, High and Low, itself works variations on the novel. It's not just the same as the novel. And Highest to Lowest works variations on both. So it has a sort of complicated pedigree. However, you can certainly watch Highest to Lowest, even if you have not the slightest familiarity with either the Japanese film or the novel that came before it. So here's a little bit about what Highest to Lowest is about. We have Denzel Washington as an extremely rich person. Now, in both the original novel and the Japanese film, he works in the shoe business. He runs a shoe factory. That's what he does. And he's having some conflicts with the people who actually own the factory. And there's a whole lot of financial wheeling and dealing going on and that sort of thing. Spike Lee's movie, Highest to Lowest, takes a different tack. It makes the Denzel Washington character an extremely powerful person in the music industry. His name is David King, and he is, again, fabulously wealthy. My gosh, the movie starts off in his Brooklyn penthouse. And it is just such a spectacular place with these magnificent views of the river. And, oh, it's just astonishingly beautiful. And he is this very, very wealthy guy. So then what happens early in the movie is he gets word that his son has been kidnapped. This totally alarms him and his wife, Pam, who is played by Ilfinesh Hedera. and their son has been kidnapped. They're suddenly totally distraught. This is the most one of the most horrible things that could possibly happen to the family. Then it very quickly turns out, so this is not really a spoiler, their son wasn't kidnapped at all. It was actually the son of David King's assistant named Paul, played by Jeffrey Wright. It was his son who was actually kidnapped. The kidnappers got mixed up. And instead of kidnapping the fabulously wealthy person's son, they kidnapped the son of his assistant. But this, as in the novel and as in the Japanese movie that preceded this film, this creates a real moral dilemma for our main character, who is David King, in this case, the great music mogul. Is he going to pay a fabulous ransom? In the Spike Lee movie, it is $17.5 million to rescue not his own son, but the son of his assistant. And he really doesn't want to do that. Now, I mentioned earlier there was some financial wheeling and dealing going on. Just at this moment, David King, the music mogul, has just put everything he owns into this great risky venture, which is almost certain to pay off for him, but he needs every nickel he has. He cannot afford to let $17.5 million go. It's not only that that would be a huge amount of money to lose, but it would just wreck everything that he's trying to do to build his future. So the movie proceeds from there. And what we have is the police who are trying to find out about this kidnapping, find out what happened, catch the kidnappers, rescue the kid. And what happens late in the film, and I'll just mention this briefly, because again, it's not really a spoiler. What happens late in the film is that David King, the music mogul, ends up having his own solitary face-off with the kidnapper. And that's what finally resolves the whole story. So it's not the police who solved the case, it is the music mogul himself. Now, again, it's interesting the way these three different iterations, the original novel, King's Ransom, the Japanese movie, High and Low, and this movie, Highest Two Lows, the way they just have interesting sort of variations. For example, in the original novel, the payoff of all of the money is happening in a car, and the main character is driving along with all that money in the car, ready to hand it over to the kidnappers, and they're giving him instructions on where to go through a radio hookup in his car, which is sort of advanced for the very late 1950s. Then in the Japanese movie from 1963, it's going to be done on a train, and he has to have the money, all this huge amount of money, in a particular kind of case that has exact measurements. And it turns out that this is so that he'll be able to slip it out a window that only opens something like 2.5 inches. So that's how that's done. In Highest to Lowest, it's very different again. It's on the New York subway. David King, our main character, has to get on, I think it's the number 4 train. And at a particular point, he's supposed to drop the money and hand it over. So interesting little variations. And as I mentioned before, Highest to Lowest, the Spike Lee movie, is very, very much a New York movie. I think pretty much, I haven't done research on this lately, I think pretty much every one of Spike Lee's movies takes place in New York City, one place or another. And in this case, it's very, very much a New York movie. It involves the subway, it involves Brooklyn, it involves Manhattan, it involves these different places. And it's a great looking movie in so many ways. It is such a tribute to New York City that in one of the movie's greatest surprises for me, the very opening titles of the film, you hear this loud heroic music playing, and then the singing starts, and it turns out to be the old show tune from the musical Oklahoma, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. And we hear that whole song while we're sung in show tune style, while we're looking at these gorgeous shots of New York City in the morning. Anyway, that's what Highest to Lowest is. It's a kidnapping tale that involves a great moral dilemma for the main character, who has to decide and come to a conclusion and then take action as to whether he is going to sacrifice not only an enormous amount of money, but pretty much his own future to save the son of someone he is very close to, but it's not his own son. And we also have by the relationship between David King, the music mogul, and his assistant, Paul. It turns out they both grew up in very rough and ready circumstances, and they've known each other for a very long time. In fact, they both have a certain toughness in their backgrounds, although they've certainly gone in somewhat different directions. They work very closely together every day, but David King, Denzel Washington, is the fabulously wealthy mogul. And Paul Christopher, Jeffrey Wright, is merely the assistant. It's a terrific movie. I don't think it's quite a great movie because Spike Lee's very greatest movies have a certain kind of moral ambiguity that makes them philosophically interesting as well as cinematically great. I will tell you now what my opinion of the greatest three Spike Lee movies are. One is Malcolm X, starring Denzel Washington, a terrific movie. Another one is 21st Hour, a movie that takes place just after 9/11 and is about a man about to go to prison. And it's a movie which features largely on white characters. And then also Do the Right Thing, which is not only Spike Lee's greatest movie, but one of the greatest movies ever made by anybody anywhere. And if anybody has not seen Do the Right Thing, they should rush out and see it immediately. Highest to Lowest doesn't rise to that level, but it's a really good movie. It is definitely more highest than lowest. And now, speaking of Lois, a little bit about the new Superman movie, which has a character, of course, named Lois Lane. This is a reboot of the series. It started out in its conception. It was going to be a sequel to one of the earlier, more recent Superman movies. And then they ended up deciding to just create a whole new movie and just call it Superman. So that's what it is. It stars David Corenswet, who has been in House of Cards on TV and various other things. He's not a big star yet, although I think he's becoming a big star even as I speak. And other people, a very interesting cast. Rachel Brosnahan plays Lois Lane, his girlfriend. A good cast. So what we have here is a movie which is, it's a Superman movie, and it has all kinds of other superheroes in it. I'll mention a few of them. Of course, there is Lex Luthor, who is not exactly a superhero, but who is the villain, and he is a fabulously wealthy multi-zillionaire. We have superheroes like Mr. Terrific, Metamorpho, Green Lantern, Hawkgirl. Okay, they come in and out of the action at various times, and it's a real superhero movie full of action. What makes it more interesting than the average superhero movie is that it's very timely. For example, in the general public in this movie, there's a tremendous amount of prejudice against Superman because he is an alien. He didn't come from Earth. He came from somewhere else. And who does he think he is? Coming to our Earth and then claiming to be a big crime fighter and causing all kinds of trouble while he solves crime. Okay, so that's one thing. Another thing that's going on in the movie is the fact that it's very much about this Lex Luthor, who is this fabulously wealthy character, who is also a very evil character. And that may play into suspicions that some people nowadays have about some of the multi-zillionaires in our own midst in real life. And those things kind of play all around the story of the movie. So it's very, very much, again, a superhero movie, but it has these themes going on it, which lend it, I think, quite a timely interest and quite a lot of real interest. Also, this Superman is a guy who really cares about the people he is saving. A friend of mine used to say many, many years ago, before all these modern Superman movies, Superman must have the worst conscience of anybody in the world, because every moment he is doing something else, he could be out there saving people. And this movie kind of takes that seriously. Yes, Superman has a secret identity, and he is Clark Kent, and he works for a newspaper, and he has a girlfriend and all of that. And we have traditional Superman characters like the newspaper editor Perry White, the photographer Jimmy Olsen, and of course the reporter Lois Lane. And these are all done in very up-to-date ways. But Superman, he can't spend all his time rescuing people, and he feels very, very bad about the people he can't save, help, rescue. And he spends, of course, a great deal of time, his time rescuing people. And so that becomes his sort of moral dilemma, becomes a part of this movie. So it's an interesting film. It's very much an action film. I tend to sort of not care very much about action sequences in movies unless they're brilliantly done. And these are very, very well done, all kinds of special effects and whatnot. It's a very well done movie. And it has things like The Fortress of Solitude and this and that. And they're beautifully done. It's a great movie to look at. It has a lot of the kind of spectacle that we expect from Superman movies in general, and Superman is a superhero movies in general as well. But it also has these themes. It has the distrust of the alien, and has the superhero wishing that he could save even more people than he possibly can save. And I will also mention that a big part of the plot, and this starts at the very beginning of the movie, is that America is getting involved in trying to deal with another country which is in terrible danger of being invaded by an evil country. And that, again, has all kinds of complicated resonances in today's very real international world. So, Superman, not a great movie, but a good movie. A good superhero movie, a little bit smarter than most, a little bit more thoughtful than most, and I had a pretty good time watching it. It's well over 2 hours long, and I have to say it kept my interest pretty much all the way, which doesn't always happen with superhero movies. So I can recommend Highest to Lowest very highly, and Superman somewhat highly, and that is my somewhat positive story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Highest to Lowest and Superman.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.